Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Canto 10, Chapter 27, Text 16. Indra and Surabhi offer prayers. Mam Aishwarya Shri Madando Danda Panim Na Pashyati Tam Brahmshayami Sampadhyo Yasya Chechyami Anugraham Mam Aishwarya Shri Madando Dandapanim Napashyati Tam Brahmshayami Sampadhyo Yasya Chechyamyanugraham Mam Aishwarya Shri Madando Dandapanim Tapashyati Tam Brahmshayami Sampadhyo Yasya Chechyamyanugraham Mam Aishwarya Shri Madando Dandapanim Napashyati Tam Brahmshayami Sampadhyo Yasya Chechamyanugraham Surya Shri Madando Aishwarya of his power, Shri and opulence, Mada by the intoxication, Anda rendered blind, Danda with the rod of punishment, Panim in my hand. Napashyati, one does not see me. Tam, him. Brahmshayami, I make fall. Sampadhyā, from his material assets. Yasya, for whom. Cha, and. Chami, I desire. Anugraham, benefit. Translation. A man blinded by intoxication with his power and opulence cannot see me nearby with the rod of punishment in my hand. If I desire his real welfare, I drag him down from his materially fortunate position. Purport. One may argue, God should desire everyone's real welfare. Therefore, why should Lord Krishna state in this verse that he removes the intoxicating opulence of one who is about to receive his mercy, rather than simply stating he will remove everyone's opulence and bless everyone? On the other hand, we may point out that irrevocable death occurs for everyone, and thus Lord Krishna does not take away everyone's opulence. Oh, does take away everyone's opulence and everyone's false pride. However, if we apply the Lord's statement to events within one's immediate lifetime, before death, we may refer to Krishna's statement in the Bhagavad Gita 4:11. Ye yatamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. As people surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. Lord Krishna desires everyone's welfare, but when he says here, yasya che chamyanugraham, for one whose welfare I desire, it is understood that the Lord refers to those who by their own activities and thoughts have manifested a desire to achieve spiritual benefit. Lord Krishna wants everyone to be happy in Krishna consciousness, but when he sees that a specific person also desires spiritual happiness, the Lord especially desires it for that person. This is a natural act of reciprocation consistent with the Lord's statement, Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu, I am equal in my attitude to all living beings. So the whole purpose of this material world is to revive our Krishna consciousness. That's the purpose here. But the living entity has come here for a different purpose. The living entity, his purpose is to be God. So God is all opulent, he is happy, he's in control of everything. So in this mood, then the living entity tries to become happy here, try to control everything, try to enjoy. This is the platform on which one works. And success or failure are basically in line with this. If I am enjoying, it's successful. If I'm in control, then naturally I'll enjoy, so success is there. So when these elements are present, then we feel that things are going nicely. And when we're not in control, or we're not enjoying, then we feel that something's wrong. So this brings then a dilemma, because we are approaching, we're taking up Krishna consciousness, because there is an anxiety. Things aren't going well for us in the material world. We are not able to understand what's going on. We are short on knowledge. We're short on money. We are, short on peace. So then we turn to God. We turn to religion for solving these problems, to become prosperous, to become happy, to get again in control of the situation and be happy in the situation. So then here, from that Dharma, comes Artha. From religious process will come opulence. Then Krishna is mentioning here that when he actually desires someone's welfare, then he'll take that away. So then we may think, well, what is happening here? This seems to be opposite to the reason why I took up the devotional process. I took up the process to gain money, to gain position, to gain knowledge, to gain all these different things. So now Krishna is going to take them away. So the difficulty comes is that if we actually sincere, he says here, if I desire his real welfare, means if he doesn't desire the real welfare, yes, when opulence is there, so many things are there, then that's not a sign of Krishna's actually favoring the living entity. Because then he goes on in his illusion, and whenever things go right for us, naturally we become proud. We become, confident. We think, yes, everything is going well for us because it's us. We are the doer, and the results belong to us. So we become very confident, very happy. But then we go on in illusion because we're not in control and we're not the enjoyer. So then if Krishna actually desires our welfare, then these things will be taken away. Then in that state, when things are taken away, then we actually see things for what they are. Because when things are going well, we generally find that our faith in the material world is quite, strong. Things are going nice, and we know, yes, this will work. We go to the phone, we make a call, it works. We get in a vehicle, it goes down the road. The roads work, the water works, the electricity works, everything works, right? So we're very confident, we're very happy. We think we'll all get so much done. And it's I'm doing it, I'm together, it's happening. Then we see that when it doesn't go well, then we become bewildered. So generally what happens is the same thing that happened to Indra. Is first we become angry. We have to find some reason for things not going right. And of course, the reason is never us. That's the first rule. Rule number one, we are not the cause of any of our distresses or disturbances in this world. It's always someone else. Must be, right? Because we're okay, right? I'm okay. Maybe you're okay. But definitely I'm okay. Like that. So the living entity then, he is very confident. And then when things don't go right, he becomes angry, tries to find fault somewhere else, points the finger here, points the finger there. And as long as that is our attitude, then Krishna keeps pushing until everything is taken away. And then we just have to become humble. We are defeated. So until that time, Krishna will keep pushing like that. And if we're fortunate, it comes in this lifetime. If not, then death comes. We'll be humbled by death. But otherwise, then if we continue in this way and we understand that something's wrong here, then we become humble. Then in that humble state, then we can actually understand Krishna. That's the thing. Because Krishna, he has all opulence. Everything belongs to him. And he's not proud. He is not thinking, yes, I am so great, I'm God, yes, I'm so powerful. You know? He is God. He's just naturally God. So his interest is the reciprocation with the devotees. So when we're proud, interaction is never good. We can see the quality of interaction between people is lessened when there's pride. Sometimes you have an atmosphere where many proud people get together and like to be in the atmosphere of proud people. You know, it's special, they make special arrangements. You have a club that only very rich people can go there, so everybody there is proud. You know, so something that everybody there is proud, then they feel comfortable. But if you see, if you actually observe the interaction, it's a very shallow quality. You know, they're each just trying to impress each other and just trying to show that they were, you know, they're sitting in New York and they're sitting there saying at lunch with their friend, yes, I was, you know, speaking of the, you know, to the, you know, such and such, you know, the Count of Monte Carlo and that. And oh, yes, so oh, and that this morning, you know, because we, you know, we were speaking to him and we caught the Concorde flight over and now we're taking lunch with you and then. This evening we'll be meeting with somebody in England for dinner. You know, so in this way they try to impress each other. And they're always trying to be better than this. So it's very shallow, not very good. So Krishna is not interested in such shallow interaction. He wants very deep interaction. As we see in this previous purport, Sridhar Swami points out that here Krishna is having a heart-to-heart conversation with Indra. Indra has revealed his mind that he became angry because of his pride, and now he surrenders to Krishna. He was actually trying to destroy the cowherd community just to chastise Krishna and them. And so now Krishna is also revealing his mind. It's why? Why do I do this? I do this because of I desire their welfare. We see that it doesn't have to be like this. Krishna is pointing out here. Cannot a man blinded by intoxication with his power and opulence cannot see me nearby with the rod of punishment in my hand. That means beforehand Krishna says it nicely. He comes by, stands there, you know, clears his throat, you know, kind of like maybe taps the stick on the ground a little bit. But if we're too proud, we don't notice this. We just go on, you know, that we are controlling, we are doing very nicely. So we always, if after something like this happens to us, if we check back, right? Because checking back, the vision, hindsight is always 20/20, right? So then we can see that, yes, people were already saying these things to us. There were symptoms that something was wrong. But we don't take it because of our pride. So then eventually Krishna, then he needs to do this chastisement. So this is the sign that Krishna has affection. He takes this has already been discussed very elaborately previously than in the story of Bali Maharaj. That Bali Maharaj was also very proud of his position. He had taken over the heavenly planets, right? And he did it by righteous means. He didn't do it by irreligious means. He had properly worshipped his guru. He performed all the sacrifices properly. This way he became powerful by that. And then he took over the planets from Indra. He's a king. He took over from Indra, who's a king. So there was nothing wrong. He didn't do something bad. So, but he was proud. Then Vamanadev came and took everything away. So then he's in the same situation as Indra. So then Bali Maharaj points out that actually when Krishna does this, they are the most fortunate. And Prabhupada points out this first point Then Krishna says, then after Krishna speaks and says, yes, this is true. But then even more a show of mercy is after someone has become so detached, then we see, then Krishna gives all opulence, but they are not attached to it. They don't become proud of it. So someone who has opulence and is not proud, is not attached, this is a higher sign of the Lord's mercy. This is a unique. So therefore we see that after this, Bali Maharaj is there. He is given, his position in Sutala is more opulent than Indra. He will be sitting on the throne of Indra in the next cycle of Indra. And the Lord is his doorman, right? Everybody else is the Lord's doorman, but here for Bali Maharaj, the Lord is his doorman. So such opulence no one has seen. Brahma does not have, Indra does not have, no one has. Right? That you have, God is there. And not only that, he's not the doorman just at one door, he's the doorman at every door. That was the whole idea of Bali Maharaj. Is that in this palace, I have to constantly move from one chamber to the next, one situation to the next, and I have to go through unlimited doors in this palace. So all the time I'm going through doors. So the one thing I always see are doors. So if the Lord becomes my doorman, then I'll always be seeing the Lord. Because every time he goes through the door, the Lord will be there. So the Lord had expanded and was not just at one door, but all the doors of his whole palace. So then, such opulence was not seen. But he was not proud. He was very gentle. Very, very properly behaved. So then he had gotten the full mercy. We see, therefore, he is known as one of the Mahajanas. Right? Indra is not known. The position of Indra is not known as one of the Mahajanas. So Indra surrendered here. But we see, he just surrendered. That he accepted the supremacy of the Lord. But we don't see him once ask for a devotional service. So in this, he didn't become a Mahajana here. So the devotee then, we should become observant to see in our life what are the symptoms. Krishna tells what is the process of devotional service. He tells us what is right, what is wrong. And then if we are doing what is right, then we're satisfied. And if we're not doing what's right, then there'll be anxiety. Even if everything is going nice, you know, or whatever our project is, it's going wonderfully, people are recognizing it, support is coming in, there's well-wishers, it's expanding, people are coming to join. But if we're not satisfied, it means there must be something wrong. Right? If it's a matter of we're not satisfied because we want to see the whole world flooded with Krishna consciousness, that's another thing. But if there's anxiety, right? But it's not an anxiety that is due to the engagement of our nature in Krishna's service. Naturally, we're in anxiety that it will be done nicely for Krishna. But this is a disturbing anxiety. Then we can understand something must be wrong, right? And Krishna's here. He's not saying that Indra was badly managing, therefore I came along and chastised him, right? He's saying that he was blinded by his position. He was caught up in his position. He was attached to the fruits of his position. He was attached to the prestige of his position. So these things, then, we can see will be a cause of anxiety. So that anxiety, then, is the first aspects of Krishna letting us know that something's wrong. Then we will get, maybe if we're fortunate, then Krishna will give us a situation in which others may, you know, make some suggestion. Some, either they're talking about something else, like someone else who has a similar problem. They may not be relating it to us, but Krishna gives us a hint. They say, yes, this devotee is having this problem because of this or that, or he's doing such nice service, but a little proud, or, you know, a little carried away, or too much attached, or, you know, doesn't give enough space, or something. Then we might catch it. It's not directed at us. They're talking about something else, and they may not even have us in mind. Next, we will have people come and say, hey, this, that, or people will start talking about us, this, that. Then we can catch something. And then if not, then Krishna steps in, takes everything away, you know, and then makes it obvious what it was already, you know, being subtly projected before. Then here, because Krishna says, I drag him down, you know. So that means, because generally, someone doesn't go down easily, right? We go down, you know, scratching and biting, right? So that takes some dragging, right? It's not that Krishna just comes along and, my dear sir, you know, you are very proud. Oh, excuse me, you know, pardon me for this, you know, how you say it, you know, improper behavior, you know, like this. It's not, we go down difficultly. So now, here we see that this is what's going on, why it's going. And so now we can try to be aware of it beforehand, which is best. You know, be observant. What are we doing? What are the reactions of others? How do I feel? We're either leading or following. So if we can't lead, if it's not our nature to lead, take the difficulties of leading, the responsibility, then we follow. So then that puts us into a position. Then we're either going to be, in that leading position, training others or administering for others or creating the economic development for others, or just in our day-to-day service, we're just in charge to see that someone else is doing basically the same thing we're doing. Or then we're assisting people who are doing that. So it's a simple thing. There is no thing that, I don't want to do anything. We have to be busy. So sometimes due to ignorance also, then we have to be pushed. That's another aspect. Blinded by intoxication of our power or deepness and opulence of our ignorance. We are so opulently ignorant. Then sometimes Krishna has to push. Like that. So if we want Krishna, then with that anxiety we don't have to worry about. The anxiety of being able to properly serve the spiritual master, that will generally always be there until we basically come to the transcendental position. Is that whatever, it's never enough. What the spiritual master has given, it's never enough. So whatever we're doing, it's not enough. Even if we're following the order externally, then there's the attitude in which we're following the order. Then there's the quality in which we are doing like that. So first we have the quantity of it, then we have the quality of it. So that will always be there. But that anxiety gives us inspiration. Right? If our anxiety, then we don't want to work, we give up, then that's ignorance. If the anxiety is creating a dynamic, we want to do something, but it is, there's some ego involved, that's passion. But if it is because we're supposed to do it, our duty, that's goodness. Right? Then, because it pleases the spiritual master, it pleases Krishna, then that's pure goodness. So the anxiety is, in this way, is not bad. We were talking before about the anxiety coming from passion and ignorance. That's Indra. His ignorance of Krishna's position and his position, his passion to enjoy that position. So that anxiety is what was a problem. Right? But generally we have a tendency in ignorance and passion not to notice. Ignorance means we don't notice. Passion, we become blinded by it. Like that. So in both cases, we're blinded. Goodness is illuminating. Then we're able to actually observe the goodness, the anxiety. Right? And then we try to improve. Is that okay? Yes. So the question is, okay, for ourselves, then we're in a difficult situation, we're tolerant. But what about if the difficult situation is happening to others? And the example is given of Draupadi was brought to the assembly and they tried to disrobe her, and then Bhishma and Kripa, Drona, they are not saying anything. So we have to see if we are in a position. What does it mean to do something? That is there. Is how to do something. Because the consideration, what was there is why, we see a few reasons why Bhishma and Drona and others aren't doing. Because they're confused. They're trying to work out, well, what is the religious principle in action at this point? Duryodhana is the king. Through gambling, he has gotten Yudhishthir as his, basically as his slave, then that means then the wife and possessions of his slave are also his. So technically he can do with them whatever he likes. Right? So according to that rule of Dharma, there's nothing wrong. Right? We're just looking at it technically. But at the same time, is there's other rules of Dharma that women are to be too respected. You know, even an adversary, another king in that, is to be respected. Even you have defeated him, he's supposed to be dealt with in a proper way, because he is a king. Because he may be now a small king, but even a small king should never be disregarded. Because today he's small, and you're big, but tomorrow he may be big, and you're small. So one has to be careful of this. Like as someone pointed out, there's a saying, is that you should be nice to everybody on the way up, because the same persons will be there on the way down. You know? So one has to be, in that way, careful. So then that aspect is there. They are also then under the protection of Duryodhana as the emperor. They are Kshatriyas, and they are under the protection of the emperor, who is Duryodhana. So therefore, they have to support him. They are his ally. What he does, they have to support, for good, for better or worse. So all these things were creating a confusion for them. So therefore, they didn't know what to do. Of course, by keeping that association of Duryodhana, that will cause contamination, like we see Akrura. Though he was a pure devotee of the Lord, because of his association, then therefore he became slightly bewildered, and therefore didn't know properly how to act. He became attached to things and acted in ways that were not proper. So in the same way, we see because of the association of Dhritarashtra and Karna, Shakuni, Duryodhana, then out of duty they have to work with them, so therefore they're becoming polluted. Right? So then that's the cause of their... They've been more properly Krishna conscious, then they could go beyond these duties. That they're devotees who can't behave this way. But whatever, it's the Lord's arrangement to create the pastime. It's said that if a chaste woman is insulted, then that whole dynasty of the person who has insulted them disappears as if by magic. It just evaporates. It's not that, you know, it just... Duryodhana, his whole, all his brothers, all their allies, everything disappeared by just as if in 18 days they were gone. Just disappeared. Nothing left. Not even one person to sit on the throne. No one. There was no dynasty. The line coming down to Dhritarashtra did not exist. It just disappeared because they had insulted Draupadi. So by this arrangement, if he wants to destroy all the demoniac kings, because Duryodhana is a demon, then naturally the demons will support him. So all he has to do is insult one properly chaste woman, and everybody will disappear. So it's a very clever way of doing it. Clever way of ridding the earth of all these demons. Right? Like you can see, Ravana, it's insulted one chaste woman. So him and all the demons, they all disappear. Right. So we also have to see the Lord's plan, right? Because in that, she was protected. Right? She was protected in a most amazing way. Like that. So we have to see what is our position, what's the situation, and in this way then see how we can try to correct the situation. But correcting this situation, if we say it's an improper situation, is, you know, then we don't correct it by an improper situation, right? Dharma is nourished by Dharma, not by our Dharma. You can't establish Dharma by adharma, and you can't establish bhakti by adharma, right? Even pious Dharma, you cannot establish bhakti. Bhakti is established by bhakti, Dharma is by Dharma. So irreligion the end does not justify the means, because the means gets you an end. Right? If the means and the end don't match, means by the means you use, you won't get that end. Right? We see in history, anyone who's used a bad means for a so-called idealistic end never got that idealistic end. Never happened in history. Means a means gives you a result. So whatever is your goal, you have to follow a process that will give you. Just like if somebody's dealing roughly with another person, then you must deal in such a way that will educate that person to get rid of their roughness. Otherwise, if you simply behave rough, then that person will feel why you behaved rough with me. Right? Right? We'll say, of course, because you were behaving roughly. But if we look at it in the context of this verse, it's a weakness that everybody doesn't see their own fault. Just someone behaved rough with me. You don't look at that I did something wrong. Why they did like this. Okay, I did something wrong. They could have come to me nicely and told me. Right? Of course. We don't notice that they haven't listened. So therefore, they have to deal more strongly. Right? So in the same way as the person we're going to deal with strongly, he's going to think the same way. Why didn't they tell me nicely? Right? So these are things to consider. We have to actually see what will get the result. Right? Roughness doesn't give that. Unless we see the king, they're rough, but only in certain situations. The person has done wrong and he's punished, not in any way, but according to a particular way. Right? And that way is set by the Lord. So only in that situation, like the kings we see, Yudhishthira, very gentle. He's considered the epitome of Dhira Prashanta, right? Very peaceful, very, you know, properly behaved person who doesn't become agitated. He's like a Brahmin. Karna wouldn't even fight with Yudhishthira because he said he's a Brahmin. He's not a Kshatriya. He's too peaceful. You know, Kshatriya is some passion there, some chivalry. Yudhishthira is too peaceful. He's a Brahmin. He's not a Kshatriya. Bhima, okay. Arjuna, they're Kshatriyas. But a Yudhishthira, no. Right? But he is. That is a Kshatriya. He's the perfect Kshatriya. So you don't see his martial, he always showing. No. He's peaceful. When he needs to be, then yes, he's there on the battlefield. He didn't shy away from the battlefield when there's no other option. But according to the religious codes, why fight when you can take care of it by peaceful means? If by peaceful means you can avoid the fight, why fight? Right? So therefore, he's the proper Kshatriya. Karna, he's not the, you know, any problem, let's fight. So that's the thing, is we have to see what way to do it. So, but problem is, that takes self-control, that takes training, that takes maturity, that takes Krishna consciousness. So then that's the dilemma there, is that we can take care of it in our natural, you know, whatever way it is. If we're by nature pious, naturally we're going to take care of pious. But if we're not, in these very difficult situations, then we see that, you know, whatever is our natural inherent nature, that pops up, right? You go down to the bathing ghat where people bathe, right? And when you get there, all the boats are there, right? They're not supposed to be there. They're supposed to be down. People bathe here. But the boatmen have decided they're going to be here. So you ask them, you please move over. Like that. And they say, plenty of space to take bath. Then you point out to them, listen, this is the bathing ghat for people. And they go, you know, what's your problem? And then the next thing, you go over there and push all the boats out of the way. Okay? So that's one way of doing it. You know, when you scratch, you know, then you find out underneath actually is the malecha. Okay, you take the malecha, put on tilak, put on a dhoti, put a sikh on it, but still, by culture, malecha. Otherwise, you could go there and just say, no, 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 this is the ghat. Very pleasantly, you know, either persuade them or go somewhere else, or just gently move them out of the way. They'll say, no, 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 but if you do it gently, they won't care. But when you come there and this, that, yell, scream, push their boats, then they get upset. So we have to see what will be the result. Like that. Okay? So we'll end here. Granturaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktavrinda ki, Jainatai Govura Premanandi.